We're looking in the Old Testament, a story that we're very familiar with. It's a story from 1 Kings chapter 7, and this is Elijah. Now, Elijah just shows up on the scene here in 1 Kings, and we know nothing about Elijah at all, other than he's obviously a man that obeys God, because he shows up here in 1 Kings, and he speaks boldly to King Ahab and against King Ahab, and he speaks the word of God, and he speaks a drought and a famine unto the land. And he speaks it and says it's going to be there, steps up in front of the king and says that this famine's going to be here, this drought's going to be here until the word of the Lord, until I speak differently. So that famine comes. Now he's got to live with that famine. We know that God takes him and meets his need with the ravens feeding him at the brook Cherith, and he has the water, has the food brought by the ravens. But then it says in verse number 7 of 1 Kings 17, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So he calls this drought upon the land, and you know, even the man of God has to deal with what he pronounced. He pronounced that drought, and he's got to live there. He's got to deal with that same circumstance that everyone else does. The difference is he's believing God and trusting God to take care and meet his needs. As God had supernaturally provided for him to be at the brook and supernaturally provided the food brought by ravens, God still steps up, and here's the story of Elijah and the widow and the widow's son. And it says in verse 8, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath. If we read this from Amplified Bible, it says, And the word of the Lord came to him, Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and he went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her, Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now, the first thing that we need to see is, here's Elijah. Here's the man of God. It doesn't matter what's taking place in the natural, because he's got to deal with the natural things. You and I, as believers, you know, we're ambassadors in this world, so we're just passing through. This is temporary. But while we're here, you know, we still live and live under the circumstances of this world. Now, we do have powers and authority in the name of Jesus to bring about some of those changes, but the reality is there are some things you're not going to be able to yourself, you're not going to be able to turn around the economy of the United States. You're not going to do that. You're going to live within the economy that's there. However, you're not bound by that economy in the same way that right here we see Elijah was not bound by what was taking place. He's not bound. He has to live through the drought, but he's not bound by it. He's trusting Jesus Christ. See, we go through our lives and we do, you know, things that take place in the world, things that take place around us, we do have to deal with those things, just like everybody else does. The difference is we have one whom we can trust and we can put our trust in to always meet our needs and to provide for us. We don't have to tie ourselves to this natural world and to the natural circumstances. It doesn't mean we deny them. They're there and they're real. It just means I don't have to suffer through them. It means that I don't have to be overcome by them. You know, there's going to be some discomfort sometimes. I'm sure it was a little bit uncomfortable for Elijah to, you know, have to wait for the ravens to bring the food. I'm sure it's a little bit uncomfortable for Elijah when all of a sudden the brook that God said, hey, go to the brook Cherith and I'll provide for you there. I'm sure it's a little uncomfortable when he's there getting his water from the brook and all of a sudden the brook dries up. That's a little bit of discomfort. But his hope and his confidence and his reliance is upon the Lord. So he knows that the Lord will bless him. He's been obedient to God. The Lord will provide for him. You and I, as we're obedient to God, when I say obedient, I mean you have to fulfill. Certainly we strive to. Certainly we want to fulfill all the commands of God. But God's blessing and God's faithfulness and God's outpouring, God's goodness is not dependent upon you and I being perfect. Those blessings are provided for us. So when I say that here's Elijah, he obeyed God. He did what God told him to do. He went and he spoke the drought upon the nation of Israel, and he spoke it to the king, King Ahab, so that Ahab would know that this was by the hand of God, because Ahab had led Israel away from serving God, had led them away into idolatry. And because Elijah was obedient to God, Elijah could know, God's going to take care. I did what you said, God. I trusted you. I did what you said, and I'm going to trust you to meet my needs. And we see that God does meet his needs. For you and I, the essence of that obedience comes down to Have I put my trust in Jesus Christ and what he did? Do I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior? Do I believe that he made that sacrifice, that I had a need for a Savior? And without a Savior, my sins would count against me. I had a need for a Savior, and Jesus came to provide and be that Savior. He came to take all those sins. He came and suffered the penalty of my sins. He suffered that penalty upon his own body, upon his own flesh, with his own death. And he rose again to provide that victory for us. If I believe that, and I'm walking in that, this is the obedience we're talking. It's trusting and relying upon him. If you have the relationship with Jesus Christ, you can trust him in the same way Elijah did. You can trust Jesus Christ to meet your every need. It doesn't matter what's happening in the world. Yes, you still have to live in the world. And so you will still be affected by what's taking place in the world. But you can trust Jesus Christ to provide and meet your needs just as he did with Elijah. Because you are trusting in, you're relying upon, you're placing your hope and your confidence in Jesus Christ. So Elijah has to leave the brook Cherith because it dries up, and he's obedient to God. And God says to him, here's the other thing, Elijah was listening to God. Many times in our lives, because we do have to go through and deal with the circumstances of this natural world, we do have to deal with those things, but we need to listen, and God will instruct, and God will lead. See, Elijah could have sat there by the brook, and he could have said, you know what, God, you told me to go to the brook Cherith, and you would provide for me there. Well, the ravens are still coming, but there's no more water. I'm just going to sit here until you provide the water again. If he'd have sat there and not listened, he'd have been sitting there and he'd have become very thirsty. He had to listen to what God said, and God said, arise, get up, time to leave the brook. I'm going to meet your need another way. So the word of the Lord came to him, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. Now, when we see that he comes to the widow seems to be somewhat surprised. I mean, she doesn't give any indication that God's already commanded. And when he commanded, maybe she didn't hear until that moment. But God had already made the preparation. You know, whether or not the woman even had responded yet to the word of God made no difference. God had made the provision as he had promised. He made the provision for Elijah. He had already commanded the widow woman to make the provision. So now, if you're Elijah, you're probably thinking, oh, good, well, I'm going to head to Zarephath. I'm going to find this widow. If God said that she's going to provide for me, she must be a pretty rich widow. Probably has a lot left because God's going to bring the provision for her. That's what our minds would think. We'd be thinking, oh, well, if God said he's going to provide for us, well, then the widow, her husband must have left her a lot of money because she's going to provide for all of us during this time. So he goes to Zarephath. So he arose, he went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. This isn't looking like a widow that has an awful lot to give. It doesn't look like a widow that is going to be able to provide for her household, and for the man of God. Because here she is out gathering sticks. She's not looking like this is a very promising. And again, if it's you and I, and we're Elijah, and we're in Elijah's situation, you and I would probably be thinking, okay, wait, I must have missed God. I must not have heard God correctly. Because he said he was going to provide a widow woman. He commanded a widow woman to make provision. So he's seen her picking up sticks, and it's about to get worse. The news is about to get worse for Elijah. And if we heard the report that, if we're in Elijah's position and we heard the report from the widow woman that she gave to Elijah, we would definitely be thinking, I miss God. God, what are you doing? God, you said, you promised. How come the needs not met? But this is what it means to rely on and trust totally in God and not look at the situation. If you're obedient to God, that's all that matters. Don't look at the situation. Trust God. Because the situation, the natural appearances, is going to look contrary to what God said. oftentimes, when God says something and we respond, you're going to look and the natural circumstances are going to say something contrary to you than what God said. That's when it becomes foundationally important that we trust what God's word says, that we trust the word of God and not what things appear to be. Because again, Elijah's got to be thinking, God, you told me to come to this widow. She doesn't look like she has a lot to provide. Did I miss you, God? Were you wrong? Did you get the wrong widow? Did I get the wrong widow? Because here she is picking up sticks, and it gets worse as he asks for a little water. Verse 11 says, as she was going to get it, he called to her, and he said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So he's already seen this is not a well-to-do woman. She's going to go get me some water. I'm just asking for a morsel of bread. I'm not asking for a feast. Just bring me a morsel of bread. And look at her response. And this is the widow that God commanded to meet their needs. Verse 12, and she said, as the Lord your God lives, I've not a loaf baked, but only a handful of meal in the jar and a little oil in the bottle. See, I'm gathering two sticks. She's not even making a big fire. She's not expecting a lot herself. And she's the one supposed to be providing, that God commanded her to make the provision. I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in, bake it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Now, Elijah has come here expecting that God has provided. God said to Elijah, I commanded the widow there. Let's go back and see what he said. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs inside, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he commanded this widow to provide for her, and her response to Elijah when he shows up is, look, I'm just gathering these two sticks together to build a fire. I got a little bit of flour. I got a little bit of oil. I'm going to make a cake for my son and I. We're going to eat, and then we're going to die. That's how hopeless our situation is. We're going to eat, and then we're going to die. There is no hope for the future. Now, if you're Elijah, you got to be saying, God, what happened? Is there no other rich widows that you could have sent me to? Because this woman can't even provide for beyond a small meal for she and her son. How is she going to provide for all of us throughout this drought and throughout this famine? But listen to Elijah's response, because this should be the response that we give. When we are acting in obedience to God, and we're being obedient to what the Word says to us, and in that obedience, we move forward, and in that obedience, we know the promise is there that God is going to provide for us. And so we move forward in obedience, and what we see by the circumstances, by the situation, what we see by the appearance of things is something totally different and contrary, apparently contrary to what God's word was. You're going to have those moments, and you're going to have those moments a lot as we go through life as believers. And as we're walking that walk, and we come to that time where the appearance and our obedience to God, and we go to where God says, we do what God says to do, and it appears it's impossible for God to meet the need. That's when we normally just give up and start, you know what, I got to go to plan B. I got to take care of this myself because apparently God didn't come through. I better find a way to handle this because what God said is not going to come to pass. That's what we think, and oftentimes that's what we do. And it's the exact opposite, and that's why the situation tends to get worse. Because if we go by appearances, for Elijah to go by appearances, it would certainly appear that this woman does not have the capabilities to provide for herself, her son, let alone Elijah. But it's what God said. So even when she gave that negative response, Elijah said to her, fear not. When you are obedient to the word of God, when you're obeying what God said to do, and it appears it's not working, it appears contrary. You know, we shared, I can't remember if it was yesterday or the day before, we were looking at David in Psalm 42, and in Psalm 42, David's going through a struggle, and in that struggle, David was discouraged. In his soul is his mind, his personality, it's his will, it's his intellect, it's his feelings, it's his emotions, and he's feeling discouraged and depressed in Psalm 42. And even those around him are saying, where's your God? But David said to his soul, he spoke to his very soul. He spoke to his emotions. He spoke to his mind. He spoke to his wisdom. He spoke to his soul. And he said, soul, why are you downcast? We will yet praise God. In other words, David knew, you know what? It looks hopeless now, but I know God is faithful and God always brings deliverance. So it doesn't matter what it looks like. We're going to praise him now. I'm not going to wait to praise. I'm going to praise him now. But we see here with Elijah, Elijah says to the woman, fear not. When you're in that situation where it looks hopeless, where it looks contrary, where you're being obedient, and you did what God said, and you arrived to that place where you think your answer is going to be, and by the appearances with your natural eyes and your natural senses, your natural perceptions, everything is contrary. Everything is in opposition. Everything is screaming to you that what God's word said isn't coming to pass. At that moment, in the same way that David spoke to his soul and said, you know, soul, we're going to praise God anyway. He's going to deliver, so let's praise him now. In that same way, what Elijah did was he said to the woman, and this is what you and I need to do as well. When that moment comes, you say to your soul, in the same way that Elijah said to the widow, you say to your soul, fear not. It doesn't matter what the appearances are, fear not. Because if God said that he was going to provide for Elijah, that he commanded this widow, it didn't matter that the widow only had two sticks, only had a little bit of flour and oil to make a small cake for she and her son, didn't matter. If God said that he commanded the woman to provide for him, then it doesn't matter what it appears. Fear not. You keep moving forward in obedience, and that's what Elijah did. And we'll see that tomorrow as we look and see exactly what Elijah did and how that worked out. What are you looking at today in your life where you feel like you've been obedient and you stood on the word of God, but it appears that the circumstances and the situation has not only not resolved itself, but it appears actually to be contrary to what the word and what the promises were. You remain steadfast. You remain firm in your convictions. You remain firm in your faith and your belief that if God said that he would provide, then he will provide. And God has said to you that he will provide. He said it in his word. So when that moment comes, you turn and you remain steadfast. You look at the situation and the circumstances, even though they look contrary, and you say to your soul, fear not. And you move forward in boldness. And you watch how those circumstances that appear contrary will turn around, just as we'll see that it does with Elijah and with the widow of Zarephath.